Well, good morning, everybody, and happy Freedom Day. This is what we're celebrating, the freedom that our Lord Jesus has provided, has purchased for us so that we could live free from the power of sin. We can live free from being separated from God. We can be set free from the fear of death. We can be set free from the reality of, as Jesus says, the whole world is under the control of the enemy, the prince of this world. And so there's a lot to celebrate. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is truly a big deal, because it's something that God himself proclaims to the world concerning his son Jesus Christ. So Father, we ask this morning that you will share with us, Lord, and we, first of all, just to be in a place where we can come and say thank you. Thank you that you reached out to us. Thank you that you didn't leave us. Thank you that you did something to enable us to be reconciled back to you, because we couldn't do it ourselves. So we thank you for your incredible grace in how you have been so involved throughout the ages in sharing the promise of your son Jesus. And the time came when that promise became a fulfillment here on earth. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your incredible willingness to come to the earth, your incredible willingness to give your life, to lay down your life so that we can be saved. We want to thank you, Jesus, for your willingness to receive the punishment from your Father, our Father, in order for us to be able to truly come into the family. We want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry in making the reality, the life of Jesus, the resurrection life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, so real to us that it's an experience. It's not just words, but we live in the reality, Holy Spirit, of how you make everything a reality to us, that what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. So we want to thank you. So Father, take us deeper, share with us, minister to us this morning, help us to grasp, help us to not only grasp, but help us to be able to enter into the life of the resurrection reality of your son Jesus Christ. And this I'm asking in the name of your son Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Before I carry on with the message of this morning, I'd like to just recap Thursday for those that were not able to attend, because this is basically building upon Thursday. We had a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we had a look there from verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And there's so much depth into these scriptures that we've just read. And we will look also at the others, because we also went through some of the other scriptures from 2 Corinthians 5. But just to start off here, we're looking at what motivates Paul. What motivates us as believers? And he's sharing the reality of the life of Christ by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. He's sharing with us the evidence of Christ in us. He's sharing with us the growth for the reality of it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Because he's speaking about the love of Christ over here. It's Christ's love for mankind that drives him. It's Christ's love for mankind that motivates him. And that is the essence of where God is helping us to grow into more and more, is to participate not in our own human love, not in our ability to love, but for us to participate in the reality of Christ dwelling within us by the Holy Spirit, and it's his love for mankind. This is what drives us. This is what controls us. This is what motivates us. This is what we give our lives for as believers. This is the desire of a believer that is filled with the Holy Spirit. This is all of our desires. It's fascinating when we look at when Paul is writing to the body of Christ in Colossae. And he's marveling and he's celebrating their love for one another, their love for God. He's celebrating their faith and just the evidence of all of that. And in that celebration of how they love, he says, for this very reason, I continually pray for you, because that's the reality. Most of us will pray for people that are suffering, but we don't really pray for anyone that's growing in love and growing in faith. But he's praying so that they become even more fruitful, that they can experience more of the reality of Christ's love that compels them, and how they're involved in touching people's lives in their communities where they are living. And this is what I know that the Holy Spirit is helping us to get established in more and more and more, for us to grow more and more in Christ dwelling within us. And it's His love that motivates us. If we find ourselves just like coming to a church service and just listening and getting knowledge, then we know that the depth and the revelation of Christ's love is not very deep in our lives. But if we're coming and when we know that God, you, this love that you have for all mankind, that's what drives us. So we go out and we walk in that truth, we apply that truth, and we get involved in all kinds of ministering into people's lives, or sharing the gospel, or just loving people in a way that they know that this is Christ's love that they are receiving. And this is our growth, as I keep on repeating myself, because it's so crucial for us to realize what's happening over this Passover weekend, what's happening as we're celebrating the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have that it's Christ's love that's compelling them to be able to continue with their ministry. And then he says over here, let me just quickly go back to a few verses down the line there. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We go back to that verse 15, that Christ died, therefore all died, and he died for all those, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. This resurrection life in Christ, here now he begins to open it up. So from now onwards, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this is the reality of the resurrection of Christ, us being raised with him, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and all this is from God. He's done this, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the message of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us a message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, the sin sacrifice, sin offering for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And therefore now we are fellow workers with God in proclaiming this incredible good news from our Heavenly Father. So what I'm wanting to emphasize here from Thursday night is, when we speak about this reconciliation, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. That's profound, very profound, because it's telling us what God has already done. He has already, through his Son Jesus Christ, done the ministry. He has done the work of reconciliation. He's not counting man's sin against them, but only in Christ. If we do not receive Christ by faith, the sins are counted against us. And that's why there's a judgment for if your name is written in the book of life. That's why, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. He did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world. But those who do not believe him already stand condemned. They're really living in the reality of being condemned because they have not embraced what God has already done through his son Jesus in reconciling, not counting. There's no other way that mankind is able to escape the reality of sin outside of Jesus. It's only in Christ that our Heavenly Father, that God himself, does not count man's sin against us. So you know now in your own life, when as you and I have received Jesus, you know that our Father is not counting our sin against us. We have been reconciled back to him. And that is why we have peace with God. So in Isaiah chapter 53, let me just read the reality of what I've just said. He was pierced for our transgressions. Or let's go verse 4. Surely he took upon our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Jesus, as we saw there, Jesus, God, let me just read that again, back to 2 Corinthians. Be reconciled to God. God who made him, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here God prophesied that in through the life of the prophet Isaiah to Israel and to the world. Surely he took upon our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So here we realize there that because of sin, we are enemies of God. God is a holy God. He's pure. There's no darkness in him. And the outworking of his holiness is his wrath against that which is dark. So there's wrath against the reality of sin. And we can read about that in Colossians, for instance, that we were once enemies of God, but Christ died so that we can once again have peace with God. So we notice over here that God's punishment, his wrath, because he's a holy God, came upon Jesus Christ so that we in him could now experience the reality of peace, reconciliation. And that's what we basically looked at on Thursday evening, in seeing what Christ did on our place so that we can be reconciled. So this is all the incredible love of God being revealed. God so loved the world, and this is what he has done. His son took the punishment. His son became the sin offering. His son was our substitute. He did it for us, and the Father punished his son because of his holiness. His holiness had to be satisfied. His love had to be satisfied. His mercy had to be satisfied. His justice, his righteousness, all of who God is had to be satisfied, and he got his satisfaction. He got satisfied, his holiness was satisfied only in his son Jesus, because his son was sinless. And his son is love. And his son is doing it for us to be able to be reconciled back to the Father. So God's holiness was satisfied in Jesus. God's incredible love is satisfied in his son Jesus. And this is how Christ showed his love, by giving his life for us. And so basically that's where we were on Friday evening. Now, here we have the amazing reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to just emphasize a few scriptures before we come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is writing to the body of Christ in Rome, and he's speaking about the gospel. He's speaking about the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand, the gospel that he promised to Adam and Eve. And throughout the ages, he spoke about this gospel. He promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's an amazing application. We all have read about the time when Jesus was baptized and God spoke. There was an audible voice that said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." So God declared, God has spoken, but there weren't many people around there. Now we can read the gospel and, "Oh God, you spoke." Now we have the next situation on the Mount of Transfiguration where God speaks to the three disciples and said, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." So he's now again speaking and proclaiming and declaring that this is my Son. Now in the resurrection of Jesus, this is so profound because now once again, the resurrection of Jesus, God is proclaiming to the world, "This is my Son. He is my Son. He is the Son of God." So the resurrection of Christ Jesus is God's almost like final declaration at this time of declaring that the man Jesus, the man who was crucified, he is the Son of God. The resurrection proved that he is sinless. The resurrection proves that he is my Son. The resurrection proves that he has come for me and he's come to redeem, he's come to save the lost. His name is Jesus, the reality that to save us from our sin. So the resurrection is a worldwide reality. The world celebrates the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The world doesn't celebrate the baptism of Jesus. The world doesn't celebrate the Mount of Transfiguration experience, but the world celebrates the reality of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's God's grace in proclaiming to the world that Jesus is the Son of God. So that's just one aspect here that I think it's important for us to know in how God has communicated the gospel to all of mankind. Let me just read that again. Through the Spirit of Holiness, the Holy Spirit who declared with power to be the Son of God, the resurrection, the power of God, God declared with the power of the resurrection that Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's just one aspect. Now another part I want to just touch quickly in this is that in Ephesians chapter 1, here we have that prayer that Paul is praying. And as I said, we've entered into a time where we're no longer just getting off the sole of our feet wet with truth. Now we're walking in more of the reality of the life of that truth. So we're starting to experience the life. We're starting to apply it in every given situation and seeing that it's a real, seeing that what God's word says and we apply it, we start to see the fruit of that. And that's our growth now, because it's God is pruning and we're becoming more fruitful so that the world can experience that God is real and know that we are the true disciples of Jesus Christ. There's an evidence of what a disciple of Jesus is as we are now learning as we grow in this love. So Paul is praying, and it's all about once again being in Christ Jesus. And he says there in verse 17, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." Verse 18, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order to know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. And that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." There's so much in over here. But here Paul is praying. And he's asking the Father to enable us to be able to know this incredible resurrected power by the Holy Spirit within us, so that we can really grab hold of everything that Christ has attained for our lives. It's pretty powerful, this. And it's pretty, what can I say, it's a joy for you and I to be able to realize, Lord, this is where we are. There's so much more for us to grow into. There's such an incredible future for us here on earth while we're still waiting here before we even get to the incredible joy and the hope and the inheritance that is awaiting for us there in your heavenly realms. And so we can begin to pray these prayers. We can begin to receive these prayers. We can begin to say, Lord, thank you. This I agree with over here. And I want to know more. I want to know more about this powerful resurrection life within me. I want to live in the truth. I've been raised with Christ. We'll get there now. Another scripture that I want to go to is Philippians chapter 3. And here Paul is busy sharing again about his past life. And he's speaking about, you know, his advancement in Judaism and his education and his upbringing, is all about his zeal for persecuting the church and the legalistic righteousness. But he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. In Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, just that statement is profound, because here we see the heart of a disciple of Jesus. Here you see an insight into our hearts, where because of the Holy Spirit within us, there's a deep desire not just to walk in shallow water of truth. There's a deep desire to know, to begin to know the reality of the death of Jesus more than we've known before, to know the reality of his resurrection, to know the power of his resurrection, to live in the reality of the power of his resurrection, to be able to share in the sufferings of Christ Jesus. And so Paul is got a desire to grow and to grow and to grow into more of the fullness of all of this. And he says over here, not that I've already obtained all of this. And that's vital, because there's so much more for us to grow into. It's not that we're there. There's so much more. And Paul is sharing with us the heart of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he says over there, but I press on. That's a decision that he makes. He presses on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And this for me is such a profound reality, because he's urging us to take hold of everything that Jesus Christ has took hold of, has attained for you and I. There's so much more for us. There's so much more for us to grow into. There's so much more for us to receive in the reality of Christ's death and resurrection. There's so much more in the reality of the power of the cross for us to be able to take hold of and to begin to really live in that truth. And so it's a prayer, Lord God, Lord Jesus, everything that you have done for us, everything that the cross represents, everything that your death and your resurrection represents, Holy Spirit, share with us, because we want to take hold of that. We want to live in that. We want to apply that truth. We want to grow in that, so that we grow into the fullness of you, Lord Jesus, bearing much fruit, which brings glory to our Heavenly Father. So this is a powerful, powerful reality that Paul speaks about. One scripture before we go to 2 Corinthians again, in Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have, verse 1, since then you have been raised. It's, you notice it's not you're going to be raised. You have been raised because our life is in him. Okay, Christ's resurrection is our resurrection. Set your heart on things above where Christ is seated. That's what Paul is saying. I want to take hold of everything that Christ has obtained for me. Set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What a joy in the death of Jesus Christ. What a joy in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Another way of putting it there, when Christ does appear, who we really are, the glory of being in Christ will also be revealed, and we all know this is who we really, really are. And it's so amazing. So we look forward to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore put to death. That's again our part that we now do, because we have been raised with Christ, because we have died with him. Therefore now sin has no more power. We put to death. We are appropriating the truth in Christ Jesus. We're getting into agreement with what Christ has done for our lives. So finally here in 2 Corinthians, just to read the reality of this new creation life, the reality of having died and being raised with him in his power. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. There'll be one regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What a statement. This is God speaking to us. This is God speaking to us. As we read over there, he has reconciled the whole world through his son Jesus, not counting their sin against them. So from now onwards, we look at no one from a worldly point of view, because from a worldly point of view, we'll see the sin. We will see all of that. Okay? And that's the reality, not denying that. But now with the message and the ministry of reconciliation that we have, now we look at that and we see the sin, but we look at what God has done through his son Jesus in reconciling and not counting man's sin against them. So that now, the love of Christ compels us, because Christ has done this. That's his love for mankind, and now it's his love. It is love that manifest in the ministry of reconciliation, his love that manifests in the message of reconciliation, his love for mankind is saying, I've paid the price. My Father, if you believe in me, does not count your sin against us. You can be reconciled to back to the Father. You can have your sin forgiven. You can have the fear of death taken away from you. You can become free from all the bondages and all the things that plague you. You can become free in me. And so it's part of the incredible heartbeat of God that we are speaking about, staying in his rhythm and keeping in step with the Father's heartbeat. And so we've got over here, so when we look at ourselves, we've got to place ourselves in it. You have to often have to say to yourself, Lord, I'm a new creation. You're not holding sin against me because I'm in Christ Jesus. And in him, there's no condemnation now. In him, I have peace with you. Because of Jesus, I can speak. I can have a relationship with you. My Father, I'm your child. So we're no longer sin conscious, because in Christ, God is not holding our sin against us. So now we come and we begin to really experience that oneness, that relationship, what reconciliation is all about. In any relationship that needs to be restored, reconciliation describes that. So here we have this amazing reality here where we are no longer who we used to be. So let me read what God says concerning you and I. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is. It's a statement. That's our position. That's who we are. This new creation in Christ Jesus. And now with the resurrection life of the Holy Spirit within us, now with the reality of I've died to who I was, that old man, that old self, I've died to that. Now with the resurrection life of Christ, he's raised me now to live this new life. So now I'm going to take hold of everything that you, Jesus, have taken hold of my life for. And I want, Holy Spirit, you to lead me, guide me, as I continually just give my life to you, continually to say yes to you, continually obey what you are teaching me, because I want to take hold of what Jesus has taken hold of for our lives. Powerful, powerful, powerful. So may the Holy Spirit help us to really receive and to hear this incredible life that Christ came and has attained for you and I, and for us to be able to say, Lord, I'm going to press forward. So I haven't obtained much of this yet, but I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on, because I want to attain more and more and more. I want to receive more and more. I want revelation. I want understanding. I want to be able to get what you've done become so real in my life, because I want to bear much fruit, Lord God, as abiding in you and you and me and your word in me. We want to bring glory to our Father. So may God bless us as we celebrate the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.